Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome in to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I am Jay Adams, and the voice you're about to hear is probably going to sound a little familiar because you just heard it, but here's Matt Moore.
Yeah, I probably had a little more reverb on the intro, but I'm happy to be here, Jay. Thanks for having me, and I'm filling in for our good friend Daniel Cox today.
Yeah, as most of you probably heard or even experienced, we had some weather difficulties here in Atlanta this week, and Daniel Cox was one of the unfortunate souls who was impacted pretty heavily by that. He was, I think, on the highway for about 10, 11 hours and was one of those people who had to abandon his car and walk.
Snowmageddon, and no joke, again in 2014, but
no.
Glad everyone that we knew was impacted, and hope everyone out there is okay and recovering.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So Daniel's not here. Matt's going to fill in today, and it's kind of fitting because Matt and I were the ones down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl last week making it happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, what'd you think about Mobile? You know, I'd been to Mobile before for the Senior Bowl, but this was your first time.
Yeah.
What was kind of your reaction now that you've experienced it for the first time?
Yeah, it was really awesome because you really don't notice it until you're there, but everybody who's everybody in the NFL is there at this thing. And you mentioned it when we first pulled in, is that it's kind of like a convention. It feels very much like a football convention because everybody's there. There's guys who don't have jobs, who are looking for jobs, and, you know, you hear a lot of news, oh, so-and-so hired so-and-so to be a position coach, and it's because of the meetings that are happening at the Senior Bowl. And so it's really kind of cool to be in the middle of all that, and also to see some of the guys you see on TV all the time with their guard down and just taking it all in, so to speak.
It's kind of multiple events going on at the same time where you have the players who are, you know, supposedly the focal point of the Senior Bowl working out, and then, you know, for this year, the Falcon coaches were coaching them, which was an aspect that we wanted to cover as well. But then you've got, you know, guys talking to each other about maybe, you know, moving to another team, guys that kind of just got laid off trying to find another team. And then you have all the media members that, you know, for this event, it's pretty intimate feel where, you know, the media guys are not in the press box. They're on the field with the GMs, with the scouts, with the coaches. So they're getting a lot of insight about, you know, who's going here. Is anyone moving draft picks? What do you think about these players on the field? So then that's all being, you know, communicated through their different avenues. So it really is a different experience. You know, in the combine, you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there together before. You're in this media room waiting for them to bring guys in. And it's just, you know, they kind of bring – it's, you know, the cattle call. They bring guys in, and you're just in there for, you know, 12, 14 hours. This, you can kind of pick where you want to go, you know, talk to the different scouts, talk to the different coaches, and then focus on some of the players in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because it doesn't end there. You go back to your hotel, and I mean, there are only so many hotels in Mobile, Alabama, and they're usually pretty booked up. And you go to any one of the hotels, and you could start a long-form joke on, like, any single situation that you witness. I think I was sitting there working one day, and Bruce Arians, Jay Glazer, and Rob Ryan walk into a bar, and it's like, you know,
where's the punchline?
Where's the punchline there? But it's true. You see all these guys just, you know, commingling and talking and hanging out, and it's really just a very cool experience.
It's also kind of fun to, you know, sit back and look at the different, you know, kind of coaching trees and GM trees out there where, you know, it got me thinking where the Falcons have a pretty good tree out there.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Brian Zanders, who's an executive with the Detroit Lions, and then you see Les Snead, you know, who's the GM of the St. Louis Rams, Dave Caldwell, who we, you know, convinced to ride in a car with Thomas Dimitroff and put the GoPro in, GM of the Jaguars. So it's kind of fun to see some guys you haven't seen in a while and see how successful a lot of, you know, former coaches and, you know, executives from the Falcons, you know, are out there in the NFL.
And the thing is, too, is you talk about it a lot. You talk about the Belichick trees or the Parcells trees or, you know, in this case, the Dimitroff tree, which is growing pretty rapidly. these guys really do stick together. It is clicky in that sense where you feel like, you know, the more guys that you have in different front offices, the more connections you ultimately have across the league.
And as I know you guys will, you know, delve into this a lot more as you get closer to the draft, but what an asset to have, you know, Dave Caldwell at number – or I'm sorry, Les Snead at number two with the Rams.
Yeah.
Who's going to be a huge player in what happens in this draft.
Yep.
And then you got Dave Caldwell at three.
Yeah.
And then Thomas and his staff with the Falcons at six.
Yeah.
There's a lot that can happen there with about who you know.
Right. And it if you're the Falcons, I mean, obviously it's a great position to be in.
Sure.
And if you're any of the other teams and you're looking to trade back, I mean, there's a lot of different things that could happen there. And I think those three guys – really are going to dictate what happens in this draft, like you alluded to. But before we get there, let's go into some of these Senior Bowl players that we saw. And we'll give you each two players that we that caught our eye, but there were many more. But these are just our top two.
I thought all in all, I'd like to get your thoughts on that before we get in the players. But just what – you know, that the whole class, both the North and the South teams, what did you think overall? I thought it was kind of like the working man's class of players out there. You know, just a lot of guys, a lot of grinders, a lot of guys with good motors, you know, good character, guys that you would like to have on your team. And it seemed that way. You know, I had Coach Smith mic'd up one day, and I was listening to some of the conversation. He couldn't stop raving about, you know, this guy's work ethic, you know, the strength of this guy, how this guy he grinds on the line of scrimmage. It was, I think, in both North and South had that.
Yeah, and I think I heard some criticism at the start of that week about the level of talent that was available in the Senior Bowl this year. And, you know, the Senior Bowl is an invitation. You know, if you're a college senior, you get the invitation. You can go or you can decide not to. And there are some guys that generally at the top – tier who decide not to because they want to let their college careers kind of speak for themselves and limit the chances to make a mistake or to look bad. And I get that. But by no means was this a low talent group of guys out there. And like you said, they were the grinders. They were the guys who have something to prove. And I think that helps you, especially if you're the Falcons, because the words that we've heard since the offseason started are tough and rugged and kind of that blue collar mentality, anything that you can associate with that mindset. And this was a perfect Senior Bowl for that. And to think that these coaches and scouts got a real up close view at both teams during this entire week was, I think that could pay dividends. And it's not going to surprise me when we get to May, if we see a lot of guys on the Falcons draft selections that played in this game.
I would be shocked if at least one, not more, of guys that were on the North team for the Senior Bowl end up being drafted or, you know, being picked up after the draft.
Right. And I just think it's such a huge value. Obviously, you know, we talked about this. You don't want to be in position to coach the Senior Bowl. But if you ultimately have that opportunity, you might as well embrace it. And I think the coaching staff and the scouting staff did that. Last week.
I think you can start with your guy, and I'm looking at the notes that you sent me on who you picked, standout, and it really does fit that grinder, working man, using everything you have as your strengths. I mean, this guy you're about to talk about, what a strong physical specimen. You know?
Unreal. And you talk about a guy who comes in with something to prove. And this guy had a lot of questions about him, and mainly due to his size. But that's Pittsburgh defensive tackle Aaron Donald, who, if you ask any of the media members, any of the scouting guys there, easily, I think, was the top, if not one of the top three prospects that came out of the Senior Bowl this year. Donald is a guy who's going to get criticized because he's only 6 foot tall. And I explained this in a blog post earlier this week, is that you looked at him at the first day of the Senior Bowl and he stood out, but not for the right reasons, because he's around all these other defensive tackles who are towering over him. And you saw, as they got into one-on-ones and things started to get a little bit more physical, you saw him stand out in a very, very different way. And his strength and his explosion off the line was something that gave really good offensive linemen some problems. I mean, Cyril Richardson from Baylor is a huge guard. I think he goes about 6'5", 320, somewhere around there. And Donald planted him right. on more than one occasion. And Richardson's a first-round, second-round kind of guy. And so Donald goes from a guy being maybe late second-round, mid-second-round, to now they're talking about him at the top of the second round and possibly even into the first round.
And what we saw from him in the Senior Bowl, I think he's only going to take that to the combine and even draw more attention.
Because yeah.
the strength he showed, I can't wait to see what he lifts and all the drills, how he performs in those.
The drills suit him really well because, he's 6 foot, about 288. He's athletic. He's going to be able to perform really well in those combine drills. It wouldn't surprise me to see his trajectory go way up, but he's a guy that if you're the Falcons, you're kind of hoping that maybe some of these teams are too fixated on his height
right.
and are willing to pass on him because of his height, because if he's there at the top of the second, you get a lot of value there.
Absolutely. And I'll switch to my first player, and that's it's kind of a more recognizable name in the Southeast where we are, and that's defensive end Dee Ford from Auburn. We spent more time around the North, but the days that we were with the South, I kept seeing this guy just fly. I mean, how fast is this guy? I couldn't believe how explosive he was off the line of scrimmage, where linemen couldn't even get to their first step, and he was almost by them.
Yeah, and this is a guy, too, just keeps going hand-in-hand with kind of the theme of the week, as somebody with something to prove. And there were a lot of questions about Dee Ford coming into this game, mm-hmm. and I think he answered a lot of them. He ended up with 2 sacks in the game, had a great pass defense at the line of scrimmage, and he really proved that he can be a viable asset both at defensive end and also linebacker. So here's a guy who, again, improves his draft stock by going to the Senior.
Same thing with Donald. Dee Ford's only going to improve himself as he gets to the combine and starts doing the drills, because I just couldn't believe, for an edge rusher, the speed that he came. You can be strong, but strength is great for an edge rusher, but if the offensive lineman doesn't have time to react because you're already by him, that pays so much dividends in the NFL these days.
Yeah. One of the guys, though, he had trouble with in the Senior Bowl was my next guy, and that's Notre Dame offensive tackle Zach Martin, who was the other name that you just kept hearing over and over and over again at the Senior Bowl. He's a guy that has been he's that tough, rugged, gritty, blue-collar guy yep. that's going to work, and he's not going to say a whole lot, but he's going to go toe-to-toe with you. And the way he handled some of the defenders that he had to face during Senior Bowl week, both in practice and in the game, Dee Ford being one of them, he went head-to-head with Aaron Donald. You saw where you would have a tackle and a tackle going head-to-head in one-on-one drills, and he held his own. This is a guy who I feel like really improved his draft stock. I don't think he's going to be there at the top of the second. I really think some team's going to find a lot of value in him in the mid first round or maybe later. But, if you're the Falcons and trading back is something that's on the table for you, I mean, this wouldn't be a bad guy to go and get.
You always hear about teams wanting to cross-train their linemen too.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they had him playing all over the place, different places for the scouts to see, and he excelled at every one of them.
Absolutely. He had a phenomenal week, and I see a lot of big things for him.
Sticking to the blue-collar, we're just fans of the blue-collar players this week, and that's good. We've won with the blue-collar people.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm from Rochester, man. Blue-collar, Rust Belt, those are my people.
Rashid Hageman from Minnesota. I think the first day we were there, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This guy really catches your eye.
Yes.
He is a physical specimen.
Yes.
Compared to Aaron Donald. This guy does look the part of the D-tackle, and people are going to like how he measures when he gets to the combine. And they do get measured at the Senior Bowl as well, but, when they put the stats on the draft board, people are going to like this guy. True strength. It was fun to watch, Brian Cox, the new defensive line coach, really ride him. And how he responded, it was nice to see that, and that's what you want with guys at the Senior Bowl like Hageman.
Yeah, this was a guy that truly passed the eye test for me. We were talking about standouts with Aaron Donald, but this guy stood out on the field. Just looking at him, his size, the way he carries himself. But then you start to see how he gets into his stance, how he explodes out of that stance, how he's able to create separation. I remember one day they were doing double team drills where the two offensive linemen on a defensive lineman, and the idea was for them to split the double team. And no one was really able to do it as well as Hageman did. And I mentioned you, I said, just looking at him, I'm like, this guy looks like he belongs in The Longest Yard, like that movie, because he just seems like he's that tough kind of guy who's just going to hit you right in the mouth.
He seemed super strong in the fact that I think he will also do well at the combine when it comes to the, you know, the reps, the repetitions on the bench press. And some of the other drills, you know, the one knock on a lot of these guys is they just didn't play, and they were in good programs, but, you know, other than Dee Ford, and I guess to a certain extent Zach Martin because they're on TV every week, but, you know, you don't see a lot of Minnesota Golden Gopher games unless you graduated from there, I imagine.
Right.
You know, or you're just, you know, glued to the Big Ten network for some reason. You know, I mean, down here at least, and, you know, it's nice for some of those guys, and Minnesota doesn't really, you know, strike you as – you know, a factory for NFL players and especially defensive tackles. But, you know, when you see that guy, you surely do notice him.
Yeah, that's a guy who has to become bigger than his school. And I think you see a lot of that. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's a, you know, Big East school, and you're playing Ball State, and you're playing, you know, Syracuse. And
ACC now, though, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Just now.
I'm still adjusting to this because I'm still not used. I'm waiting for the Syracuse-UConn game to come on. Regardless, I mean, Aaron Donald's a guy that, you know, you're not playing in that big program and you kind of have to become bigger than your school during the scouting process. One of the things that I will mention, too, and you mentioned a little bit, is how players reacted to Brian Cox. And I spoke with Donald and I spoke with Hageman about specifically working with Brian Cox last week. And they raved. I mean, and it was beyond the, you know, normal kind of player speak. Oh, yeah, he's a good coach and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this went way beyond the enthusiasm that kind of they showed when they talked about him, kind of how at length they went in their answers about Brian Cox. I mean, this is a guy in 4 days at that time had made such a huge impact on these players. And you got to like that as far as the prospects for any young defensive lineman, any of the current defensive linemen that you have on the roster and how they're going to embrace this guy.
It was really fun to see how much he got out of those guys. I really think he pushed them to the limit, and they responded, and that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get into our mock monitor. And we keep track on AtlantaFalcons.com each week of who the mock drafts say the Falcons are going to end up taking. And we just started this week. We try not to start it too early because, man, in January – you just don't know. So, but there were enough of them out there where I'm like, well, let's give it a shot this week and get it started. So every Tuesday on AtlantaFalcons.com, all the way up to the draft, we're going to tell you who the experts have the Falcons selecting at number 6 overall. And this week's results with the most popular selection was actually Anthony Barr, UCLA linebacker defensive end. And Auburn offensive tackle Greg Robinson right behind him, just one pick behind. So I think Barr had 5 and Robinson had 4 selections in the mock drafts this week.
It's interesting to see how much Robinson has risen up.
I mean,
you know, at some, you know, right, you know, in this mock monitor season, you know, at the beginning of it, and I know we're still early on, but he was down, you know, early second, late first round grades, and now you can see him as a top 10 pick.
It's
crazy how some of those guys rise like that.
It was funny. You know, we do a draft spotlight on the site a couple of times a week. We just kind of feature some guys, and we like to do a photo gallery with them. And Daniel was writing the one on Greg Robinson, and he emails me, and he's like, I don't know what to do because there's only five photos in existence of Greg Robinson. I'm like, what? And then it started to make more sense because he hasn't become a hot name until about the national championship. You started to be like, okay, you got to keep an eye on this guy. And so photographers, you know, obviously they get the shots of the big name guys. So there's only five photos of this guy out there. And so you're right, just to illustrate that point, this is a guy that just basically come out of nowhere. And
he's a guy that will have to prove himself at the combine.
Yeah.
People are going to have all eyes on him. Because, like you said, he kind of is not that much out there on him yet.
No, there really isn't. So that makes our duty here a little more challenging because the question is, between the two of them, which one would you rather have?
Well, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with any one that you're going to get at pick six. And I think that needs to be the message from here on out is – you know, I'm already tired of people on Twitter telling me, like, we need to trade, you know, our whole entire roster for Jadeveon Clowney, you know, no matter, get up to number one to get him. I really think at pick six, you are going to get a franchise player.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think the Anthony Barr and then, you know, the Khalil Mack picks out there are really intriguing. And just it had me thinking. I went and pulled the 2012 NFL draft just for fun. And, you know, there's all these marquee players out there, and you're going to have your Teddy Bridgewaters and, you know, your Clowney and your, you know, Robinson and Matthews and the other quarterbacks. Oh, how can I forget Johnny Football as well?
Johnny Football, yeah.
But, you know, I pulled the 2012 draft, and I started looking, you know, Andrew Luck, RG3, Trent Richardson. You know, Matt Khalil is that offensive tackle people look at. Justin Blackman, you know, he's your explosive player. I think you're going to have guys like, you know, the kid from Clemson, Sammy Watkins. You're going to have those kind of guys out there as well in the top 10. And then you have Morris Claiborne and then Mark Barron, Ryan Tannehill. And then the first linebacker who was taken, you know who it was? We play him twice a year, and he does pretty well against us.
Kuechly?
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
First linebacker taken at, you know, pick nine.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets you thinking about the Barr and the Mack types at that position.
Yeah.
Where, you know, a guy like Anthony Barr, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with a guy like that.
Yeah.
And Khalil Mack, guys like that, you know, they may not be the Jadeveon Clowney name requisition or the Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Football.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get a guy like that between, you know, pick six and pick nine, he's going to make an impact for you.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a fantastic point is between Clowney, between Barr and Mack, there is not – we're not talking drop-off here.
Mm-mm.
We're not. If you're looking for a defensive guy who's going to make an impact, any one of those three is going to do it. So completely agree with you there. I'm going to go with you on this one in this particular situation. Of course, I don't think that either one of these guys would be a bad start to your draft. I just think, based on what we've heard from Thomas Dimitroff and the way things are kind of set up, I think you might feel like you're okay at offensive tackle. I think you want to have some competition. I don't know necessarily that you want to bring in your number six pick and have him compete. And thrust into a competition with a couple of guys who have been here for a while. I think just based on what Thomas has said about Lamar Holmes, it looks like, you know, last year was just a situation where he was thrown in the fire. And, you know, all things being equal, he learned a lot. And so I think there might be some thought that in year three, is going to be the pivotal year for him.
And you talked a lot about Brian Cox. We didn't talk how much men liked Mike Tice.
Right.
And I think it was kind of fun to watch his passion out there and what he was teaching. And it was fun to listen to his philosophy, too. And you think that – and nothing against, you know, the old regime at the offensive line coaching position. But everyone is different.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes, you know, a fresh – voice to get into people's head, and sometimes it just takes a couple new, you know, little philosophy changes in technique.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Mike Tice is preaching, and I think that goes to your point, is that can probably be fixed with, you know, with time, with the off season, sure, and, you know, training camp and yeah, preseason. And that is why it might be wise at pick six to get, you know, a Bar or a Mac yeah, or a Clowney.
Yeah, I just think a defender does more for you at that spot. Bar is a guy who I think somebody like Mike Nolan is really going to like, because you talk about hybrid players, mm-hmm, and you talk about what you try to do with Corey Bierman when he's healthy. And Bar is that same kind of guy, but he might have a little bit more explosiveness off the line. So for me, in this situation between the two, I give the edge to Bar, but only because of how things are currently set up. I don't think tackle is the guy that you're going after on the offensive line right now.
Interesting question. Before I know, we got to go and tweet Jay the answer to this. You can tweet me as well. If you could pick one right now, if you could have the next Reggie White,
uh-huh,
or the next Jonathan Ogden, Orlando Pace, who are you going with?
God, it's so hard because, I mean, you both are areas of concern. I think, though, we saw it this year with how important Matt Ryan is to this football team and how important he is to wins and losses. And he cannot do his job if he's on his back. And so to answer that question, I would say the next Jonathan Ogden, because I think that takes you way further. However, just in the context, it is, it really is. And it's one of those chicken and the egg kind of, mm-hmm, deals where, you know, it's like asking you which is your favorite kid, you know, but because it's really a very hard question to answer. But I think when you look at how this team is currently set up, you got to keep Matt Ryan upright.
So, I don't have the right answer.
There isn't a right answer.
But yeah, that's interesting. Tweet, yeah, tweet us your answer. Yeah. I'd like to hear. I'd be interested to hear what everyone thinks.
Very much so. All right. Well, hey, thanks for sitting in for
my
Daniel.
My pleasure. Anytime.
We'll get
happy to keep the seat warm for Daniel.
Yeah, we'll get Daniel back in here next week as soon as he's thawed out. And thanks for joining us here on the Falcon Cast podcast. We'll catch you next week.